Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you like to have John the Baptist as your preacher? Think about it. He must have delivered a really good sermon, because people came out into the desert to see him and to hear him. Now, when I took preaching in seminary, my professor did not need to tell me that I should never call the congregation vipers. I should never say that you are going to be the chaff. But that's what John said. And yet people came out to hear him. Think about that. You know, there's a lot we don't know about him. We don't know what John looked like. We don't know what his voice sounded like. We don't know what kind of mannerisms he had. But he was able to get people to sit and, or I should say stand, because people stood when they were at a service back then. And they would stand and listen to him when he berated them. Now, it's possible that hearing this passage, you think, oh, we're not a brood of vipers. That would have been the Pharisees or the Sadducees. It's always easy to find some way to decide that somebody else is the problem or somebody else is in trouble. But John was speaking to everyone. And there was a recognition that something was off, because people wanted to hear his message. They could detect that what he had to say and what he was doing was important. Now, there's some topics here that can be a little bit confusing for us, because what do we need to repent for? Think about that. Now, there are some preachers and Christians who like to lecture people and say that you're bad because you're fornicating, or you're lying, or you're gambling, or you're doing this that's wrong, or that that's wrong. And people think that the church is a place where you go to feel bad. Get to hear some nice anthems, sing some nice songs, and then someone's going to make you feel bad. That's not what Jesus is trying to do. That's not what God is trying to do. Yes, we need to repent. And we need to use the old Greek term of metanoia. We need to turn. And that's what we do during Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the baby Jesus. But we're also preparing ourselves for the second coming. Now think about this for a moment. I think it's fair to say we're all good people here. We all follow the law. We're generally nice to one another. Sometimes we could do better. We're not perfect. But what kind of community are we building for one another? And I harped on this theme before, but I'm going to bring it up again. Think about the kind of community we built here at the church. Think about the kind of community we're building outside of the walls here. And think about whether God would want to come to that community. Think about it. Would God want to come here? Would God feel welcome here? And that requires a bit of a stretch, because we like things the way they are. Even when they're not working, they're familiar. And we want to make things more like they were in the past. Now, the church is not a good place for us to indulge in nostalgia. Past is dead and buried. It is over. It is gone. It's not coming back. So we've got the present, and we have the future to live into. And God has given us agency to shape that future. Think about the passage we heard read from Isaiah during the Advent liturgy, which is one of the lectionary passages for this day. I've talked about the peaceable kingdom before, and Edward Hicks, the painter, And that wonderful example of primitive American art with the lions and the lambs laying down together. And anybody who knows anything about biology knows that that scene is not plausible. Lions are not going to become vegetarians. You are not going to put your child or your grandchild next to an adder's home with its hand sticking out, just waiting for it to be stung. Not happening. So what is Isaiah preaching on back there? Yes, God could completely rewire us and remake us. But I don't think that's what Isaiah was talking about. The natural world will continue as it is. But that's a vision. It's a vision of a community where everybody is able to get along, where everybody is willing to get along. And it doesn't matter our skin color or our political affiliation or our nationality, we all get along. That is God's kingdom. That's what we should be working for. Now, I don't know about any of you, but I've watched more soccer the last couple of weeks than is my want. But one of the neat things about the World Cup is you've got all these people coming together from different countries. And they're playing by the same rules. And there are times where I have to admit, I'm not a good American. I'm rooting for the other teams. Because some of those players are amazingly talented. And it's good to see that. Because all of those foreigners are God's children. So what does this have to tell us about John? Would you have listened to John? Would you have wanted to hear from John? Do you like to listen to people who are yelling into the wind? But before we say John is some kind of ancient crazy, I want you to think about a present day John. She's now 19 years old, and you've seen her on TV, and you know about Greta Thunberg. You know about her, you know about her passion, you heard about her showing up at the UN and dressing down all those ambassadors and leaders. And there were some people who were put off by this, by the presumptuousness of a teenager yelling at the adults in the room, who frankly are not being the adults in the room because there are some real problems with our climate. And yes, it's possible to say, well, Greta is just a young woman. What does she know? She's not seen it all. Well, neither have all of us. Neither have all of us. And that enthusiasm of youth is something that we who are older should never lose sight of. And it's great when we see young people in our church, whether just a couple or a whole group that'll show up on Christmas Eve. I know it's trite, but that's the future. And they are paying attention. Now, this is where I can ask, are you really listening? Are you really listening? Am I listening? And I will confess that one of the uncomfortable things of being a preacher, and Rachel can call me out on this later on, is that sometimes she asks me if I've had a moment at home where I'm not behaving as well as I should. She said, are you listening to the sermon? So I fall down too. But John is a really powerful example to us. And John is a strange person to preach on because from the pulpit, I should be preaching about Jesus. And John did not seem to be in it for himself. John was not looking for the platitudes. John was not looking for the accolades. John didn't want to be known as the preacher of the year. John wanted to draw people to God. So I'm hoping that something today will speak to you, whether it's my message, whether it's the music, whether it's the decorations, whether it's the people here, that you will feel drawn closer to God. And that you will take some time to repent. Because each and every one of us has sinned. Every one of us. It's just like death and taxes. We all participate. But God wants us to repent. The God we know is a God who loves us and a God who cares about us. And I can't imagine that God is sitting up in some heavenly office with a giant tote board of everybody's failings and that he's keeping track of every wrong thing we have done. We would fail. I think God is focused on the state of creation, which God wants us to care for. And I'm not really big on preaching environmental sermons, but the climate is something of concern. We all live on this planet. We should all want to care for it. And we should remember it has been lent to us. It's ultimately all God's. And I presume that when you're young, you were taught by your parents that when somebody lends you something, you should always give it back in the same or better condition. We should do that with the earth. And I'm not assuming that Jesus is going to show up tomorrow, but he could. And so maybe we're put out by young people like Greta Thunberg, but we should think about why we're put out by that. And I don't know about you, but I generally don't like being called out for something I'm doing wrong when I know I'm doing wrong. No one likes to be reminded of that. And that's why we should give thanks to God for people like John and for Greta and for all of the folks who will be railing and ranting and hopefully getting our attention so we can pay attention to do the work that needs to be done. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the gifts in our lives, particularly that of prophets, those who are famous and those who are unsung, who have lifted up your word and your cause and your people to our care. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.